I want you to close your eyes for a second. Actually, only if you're somewhere where it's safe to do that. Like if you're driving, keep your eyes open. But imagine yourself shrinking down to the size of an atom. It's pretty hard to do, right? Luckily, we've got computer simulations to show the world of an atom to us, which is a tool very familiar to today's speaker. I'm Tegan Taylor, and this is Occam's Razor, a soapbox for science. Today, Jacob Martin shares his experiences balancing the real and the virtual worlds of scientific experimentation.
So I was running a workshop for a group of primary school students and was showing off a new virtual reality game. A 7-year-old boy put the VR headset on and he looked around and he got really, really excited and he said, "I am an atom." We had just given that young boy the superpowers of Ant-Man and had transported him down to the scale of an atom. And as he was looking around, he was looking at thousands of carbon atoms in the material graphite. What's perhaps even more surprising is that this model of graphite was completely generated in a supercomputer. I didn't make it. And that it's the most accurate model of graphite ever made. This computational microscope, this new tool, is completely transforming the field of material science, which is my field of study in the physics department at Curtin University. And today I'd like to tell you about how we build such a computational microscope and how it's leading to breakthroughs in how to make better battery graphite. So let's start off with how do you even build a computational microscope? It involves programming a computer to generate a material. The first step is to work out how the atoms interact with each other. So different atoms have different stickiness and different sizes, and depending on atoms' neighbours will depend on their stickiness as well. And we put this together in what we call a force field because it kind of describes the way in which the atoms pull and push on each other. We also have to represent temperature. And the way that we do that is we just jiggle the atoms because temperature is just jiggling, right? So hotter temperatures, more vigorous jiggling. We jiggle the atoms and we allow them to be pushed and pulled by this force field, and the computer then moves them forward in time, marching the atoms on and moving them round. So the computational microscope we've just built provides the most powerful window into materials. But wait, I hear the experimental scientist grumble. This is all just made up. Now, if my wife's trying to wind me up, when I'm explaining an experiment to her, she'll ask me whether the experiment is real or imaginary. Now, describing my computer simulations as imaginary is effective in winding me up. But it does illustrate a very important distinction about how scientists determine how reality works. So science has thrived on what's called the empirical approach. And just putting that in simple terms, you have to probe and prod nature with instruments to work out what's going on. The previous approach was called deduction, where you kind of came up with ideas in your mind and you kind of hoped that they worked. But the problem with deduction is that we're actually limited by our imagination. And it turns out this is a really big problem with materials, because when you get lots of atoms together in a material, they do weird things. They do surprising things. They do complex things that you can't predict from those simple rules. So the computational microscope solves this problem because it allows the atoms themselves to be described accurately. And then in the computer, those atoms can move the way that they want and they can do those complex and surprising things. And then as a scientist, we can look at what the atoms are doing and we can actually see the material form before our eyes. So it's a little bit like an experiment. But I think an example is helpful here. So I'd like to tell you about how we recently discovered how graphite forms. And the motivation for this work was that graphite is really, really important for us decarbonizing. So graphite is in all of our lithium-ion batteries. You might not know that. It should really be called a graphite and nickel battery. And graphite is actually made up of sheets of carbon, and that's where the lithium goes when you charge your battery. And quite remarkably, when you do that, it goes a gold colour, which I'm sure you didn't know. And don't try to find out, because if you open it up, it will explode. So don't do that. But I promise you, it's golden when you charge it up. So the lithium goes in between the layers of the graphite. Now, the challenge is that it takes 3,000 degrees Celsius to make graphite. So that's half the surface temperature of the sun. And that turns out to be a big issue because it's very hard to make. And we actually didn't know why it took such high temperatures. And it also turns out that it's really hard to do experiments when things are jiggling around at 3,000 degrees Celsius. So we turned to the computational microscope to give us an atom's eye view of graphite forming. So what we knew about graphite is that it's formed from a precursor where you have small bits of carbon that are kind of set up like ravioli. All right, go with me here. So you've got little pieces of pasta, those represent the bits of carbon. And then when you cook it at high temperature, it forms lasagna. Okay, great. So we put this ravioli model into the computer, and we allowed the computer software to jiggle the atoms, right? And this was done on a truly colossal computer. So this is the Pawsey Supercomputer Centre right here in WA. It's one of the largest computers in the world. Now, I want to reiterate here that when we started the simulation, we had no clue what was going to happen. And I've been doing science long enough to realise that most ideas I come up with turn out to be completely wrong. So we patiently waited. An undergraduate student put the simulations on, and we waited a couple of weeks. And then I loaded it up on my desktop computer, and we could see the carbon atoms jiggling around. Now, at the beginning, they just kind of randomly moved around. It didn't look like anything was forming, but quickly we saw the atoms separate into their nice little layers, like in the lasagna. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was like seeing something for the first time. We got quite excited, but then we got quite annoyed. And the reason we got annoyed was that we were looking at it and we really couldn't figure out what's going on. So you know things are complicated when you can see every atom, but you have no idea what's going on. We needed a better way to get inside the material and to see what's going on. So we sent the files to The Hive, which is a visualization studio at Curtin University. This is a high-tech cave, you know, something that, you know, Batman would be in, you know, his lair. And inside this room-sized screens that allow scientists to be inserted inside their three-dimensional data. It's really cool. And so we loaded up our model and we were inside. The whole group, we had our 3D goggles on, you know, very science. And you could almost, you know, sort of reach out and grab an atom. And, you know, we're zooming around with a 3D mouse and, you know, going between the layers. It was almost like we were an atom of lithium inside of graphite. In the distance, we saw something, a defect between the layers. So we zoomed over with a 3D mouse. And what we saw was a spiral staircase. All right? So what was happening is that the layers were connected to each other through a spiral ramp. So imagine like a multi-story car park with ramps between it. That's what it looked like. The problem with these ramps is they hold the layers together and they don't allow the layers to separate to allow the lithium in. And they're also really hard to get rid of, 3,000 degrees. So alongside this computational caving expedition, we actually took some real graphite in the real world, into a real laboratory and a real microscope. And we looked at it with real electrons and we saw a real life spiral defect, which was very exciting. And we also saw the carbon atoms, which was very cute. So what's remarkable about this is that lots of people had taken pictures of graphite in an electron microscope. This wasn't the first time people had done this, but because we had this atom's eye view, we actually knew exactly what we were looking at. So we could interpret and we could say, that is a spiral, and I know exactly what that looks like in three-dimensional space. So how could this impact lithium-ion batteries? Well, we know that these spirals need to be removed, and 3,000 degrees isn't going to cut it. So what we're doing now is using mechanical approaches, squeezing or twisting that to try and unravel those screws at a lower temperature. So we've got a PhD student who's working on that at the moment, and we're doing that alongside the graphite industry here in WA to achieve this at a commercial scale. And while we begin to apply these findings, we're continuing to improve our computational microscope using machine learning to describe those forces, 3D printing to visualize things, and using virtual reality to give us that view. So we're actually using virtual reality to share with people the thrill of discovering the atomic world, just as that little kid did when he announced that he was an atom. And I hope that this talk gives you a window into the life of a carbon atom in graphite and the scientists that straddle the real and the virtual.
That was Dr. Jacob Martin, a research fellow at Curtin University. He was speaking at our Occam's Razor live event at the WA Museum Boolabardip on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people. I'm Tegan Taylor, your Occam's Razor host, and I'll be back next week with more science to explore.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.